G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the podcast where we talk all things video gaming and do it with a bit of an Aussie flair. Again, thank you for being here. We bloody appreciate you, whether you're listening from your car on the way to work or maybe you're in here live as we stream to twitch.tv. But my name's Captain Perth, El Capo. You can call me Cap. And alongside me are my faithful companions, Grizzly Gaming 86 and Pavlovovich. How are we, fellas? We doing all right?
Ahoy, hoy.
Doing good, fellas.
Yeah.
Now, Pav's in his new house, Cap. Look at him. Can you see him go, mate?
He looks like a man who owes the bank a lot of money.
That I am. That I am. My friends. I have so much debt.
Yeah, how is it, the club, mate?
How is it, mate? Have you got any furniture in your house yet?
A little bit. I got my little couch in the background. That's fantastic.
Casting couch. Yep.
Hell yeah, dude! It's actually it's scarily close to a
casting couch. When I put it back there, I was like,
Ooh.
Don't know how I feel about this. Suka's going to be coming over, so he'll let you know. So.
Hell yeah, Suka. Yeah, I can't wait to see that video.
No.
That one's going on the OGR YouTube, Pav, isn't it, mate? Pretty sure.
Maybe not YouTube.
Oh, another service, perhaps.
Check out our Patreon.
Awesome. Now, Pav, you told us before we started that you had a little thing you wanted to
I got a little about. Thing. It was supposed to... It was something I wanted to show you for our 20th episode. So it's come a bit late. But I thought I'd show you guys something I've been working on.
Oh, okay.
Dang, all right.
For those listening, God, hang on. I can't see it very well. Hang on, let me zoom.
We got fresh damn. OGR hat.
Is that an
boy.
OGR hat? A
this
cap?
Is an OGR hat, but I've purposely not zoomed in.
Are the colors fucked on it?
It's all just green.
It's all fucked. It's not good. It's not good. So Cap, on the weekend I was like, Cap, I needed to deliver something to you because purely because I wanted your reaction and get it on camera. Yeah. But I'll show you guys now.
What is that? For those listening at home, it is like a green and fucking yellow amalgamation of thread that just is not hitting the mark.
It's not great.
That is
it's
so bad. We've got to get a photo of that and put it on Twitter, dude. That is so fucking funny. Where the hell did that come from? Where did you get that made?
For risk of burning future sponsorship opportunities, let's just say it was from one of the many streaming merchandise company.
Well, we're trying to sell our merch, boys. I don't know if we're doing a very good job of it, eh?
Oh man, okay, yeah, we might be looking for a new textile place, I think. Well, it's the thought that counts, though, Pav. I think that would have been fucking rad if we all had hats, but just not that hat. Oh my god! But other than that, Pav, I suppose you know that you're settling into the house, okay?
Slowly settling. Yeah, probably be a few more weeks before I'm fully fledged, self-sufficient in the house. I still got quite a few things I need. But
what are you waiting on? What's the big ticket items?
White goods. So I don't have a fridge, washing machine, dryer. Yeah, that sort of stuff to keep me going.
Just living la vida loca.
I kid you not, Pav. I literally just gave away pretty much a brand new washing machine last weekend because we moved into a fully furnished house. We just had heaps of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, next time, mate.
Speaking of washing machines, I've got to fix my washing machine. It came with an error code the other day, so I have to go in there and put my freaking hand down the pipe and figure out what's going on. And not looking forward to that.
What's going on down here? Is it not working? Not operational?
I think it's a drainage problem, which is probably I just need to open it up and have a bit of a squeeze. At like you get these little drainage points that you can pull things around. And anyways, it's not draining properly. It's been happening for a while, and I've kind of just ignored it. Now we all of a sudden don't really have a washing machine to use, which that's on me. But anyways, enough about washing machines, Grizz. How have you been, mate? How's life?
Life's fucking good. Life is busy, Cap.
Yeah.
Life is busy, mate. But I'm going to jump in and say I went to the museum on the weekend. I know that you did it because I think I saw it on your B-reel, Cap, but I took the kids to go see the Dinosaurs in Patagonia exhibition.
Oh, brilliant. Nice. Limited
release. Dude, it is awesome.
Yeah.
I've taken them before. Yeah, definitely worth the checkout because they've got they've got real fossils in containers there that you can see.
Wicked.
So you can see like different bits and pieces, like a megalodon one and some other different ones. But what was amazing for me was to see the size of these bone structures of some of the big dinosaurs, and they're just like everywhere. And you can stand underneath them and look up, and I'm just kind of saying to my kids, like, this is how big dinosaurs actually were. Isn't this like insane? Yeah. It's so weird to actually just actually be there and see it.
Especially like, being a kid and looking up and just being like, holy shit.
Yeah, huge.
It's very nuts. Cool. I have to check that out. I've got a couple of days off Thursday, Friday this week. So, and I've just been looking for things to kind of do.
Take Mia in there. It's $15. And once you do the dinosaur bit, you also get access to the rest of the museum, which was recently done up as well. So we went through the whole museum at the end and looked at the whole thing. Definitely worth it with a look if you haven't done it recently.
The new cool museum is amazing in Perth, just FYI. If you ever jet setting out to Perth and you want to do something, we've just had this huge new museum put together and it's spectacular. Absolutely fucking awesome. So
just to add to that, Cap, the nostalgia box is right behind the museum. So if you pick a day the nostalgia box is open, you can go check out the gaming consoles and the
So they do a lot of retro, a kind of game preservationist stuff, right? You know, kind of like almost like a gaming museum, which is really fucking rad. And actually, we'll be talking a little bit about games preservation today. But before we jump into it all, Grizz, I wanted to talk because it's been a week since it's been 2 weeks, right? We took a week off last week to sort of, Pav was moving into his new place and we decided to use that as time to, you know, just coalesce and have a week off. So there's been a lot of stuff that's happened, but I mean, kind of wanted to talk about maybe some of the games we've been playing recently, Grizzler.
Ooh, yeah.
You go first, mate. You go first. Just don't choose the one I'm going to say.
Okay, I think I know the one you're going to say, so I won't choose that. I bought the Cuphead DLC, Cap. I'm a Cuphead fan. Dude, Cuphead have done this right. The DLC, dude, is $15. Like, cheap as chips, mate.
Really? $15? Yeah.
$15, man. And it's like an extra 8 or 9 hours if you take it slow and do all the content in it.
That's really cool. Game.
Yeah. It's got very good reviews on Metacritic, sitting around about 90%. So the fans are pretty happy, including myself. I've only seen one boss and one run and gun in the DLC. I went back and played all the other stuff first. I've only just gotten into the DLC now. But dude, it's from what I have seen of it, it is Cuphead just with extra levels, which the negative reviews that I saw on Metacritic, dude, were complaining that it was the same as Cuphead. It's like, yeah, it is. It is Cuphead.
Shit, mate. This air tastes like air. What the fuck? You know, like, it's so fucking stupid. That's cool, man. So how do you like get to the DLC stuff? Is it kind of like, is it like mixed in with the base content or is it like separate areas?
They've done it so well, man. Like I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to tell you exactly where it is, but they've basically just threaded it into the old story. Somewhere you find access to get to the DLC. Somewhere. You don't know where that is. I didn't know where that is. I played through most of the main bosses.
Did you miss it?
Yes. The reason why you would know is if you had paid attention on your first playthrough of Cuphead, one of the characters that you save in the first Cuphead, if you save her again in the second one, you'll go to the DLC. That's kind of how it has worked.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I've seen videos and stuff, and it looks like, you know, they've done a pretty good job. I think the cool thing that I really liked about it is the game director for that DLC. You know, people were saying, when's this fucking DLC coming? And, you know, why is it taking so long? And he was just like, we're just going to take as long as it fucking takes. We don't give a shit. which I thought was awesome. I mean, that's obviously coming from, you know, a place where they've obviously made a fair bit of cash off this game because, I mean, Cuphead did incredibly well, and they're able to sort of cruise along and just kind of, you know, actually look after their employees' health, which is kind of nice to see in a time where a lot of companies aren't doing that, you know, Amazon and all that kind of
100%.
Shit.
100%. And you can tell it's a game of love, Cap, everything about it. Like, I believe that it's all hand-drawn animations and not only that, but the music is just amazing, and the music is amazing in the DLC as well. It's just got the same vibes, same Cuphead vibes. Really cool. Yep. Really, really cool.
Fucking rad, man.
The other one that I'll throw in there real quick, Cap, is my daughter Joyce loves Minecraft, right? And I knew that she would also love Stardew Valley. I kind of sold it to her as being, it's kind of crafting and there's farming, but it's a lot more cartoony and looks cool. And I showed her some videos on YouTube and she liked the look of it. And I went and bought it on the Switch. Not long ago, well, actually maybe like a year ago, the Switch released a update that allowed you to do split screen co-op from the Switch and from any console, whatever. So it was great, man. We banged up on the TV, we started playing, and yeah, loved it, mate. Such a good co-op game, Cap.
That's awesome, man.
Very well designed, because the way it works, right, is Joyce wanted to do all the farming. She wanted to plant the crops, water them, pull them out, sell them. I wanted to go exploring in the caves, so she got all the level up stuff for farming. I got all the level up stuff for the going in the caves. It was just like this really cool little co-op experience.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, so cool. So, and obviously sharing time with your daughter. Fucking awesome, man. What a great way to spend time. Yeah, it's so good, man. Oh, that's fucking rad. Is that everything, mate? That's all you wanted to
bit of Magic the Gathering on the side, Cap. That's it.
Oh yeah. What very about you? Nice, mate. Yeah. Well, I've continued to play Final Fantasy IX, kind of just smattered in between work. Work's been super busy recently. I'm delivering a project that I've been working on for like 5 months or something, 6 months, and that's this Wednesday. So basically the last few weeks have been just insanely hectic. So, just continuing to sort of play through Final Fantasy IX, because it's been fairly low commitment and just... you know, just fairly fun and stuff, easy to jump in and out of and just play in bed. Also bought, we've got a D&D campaign happening soon with me and Grizzly and a few of our mutual friends. So I bought the Player's Hand manual thing. Been reading through the first few chapters just to reacquaint myself. I've played D&D in the past, so, you know, just to sort of get back on the bandwagon and remember exactly how. Because you make your character once, right, at the start of the campaign. So I can never remember how to fucking do it. So, and then, you know, I've played campaigns that have gone for like a year. So,
dude, you're ahead of me. See, I've never played a campaign. I've only done one shots. I've listened to a fair bit, but yeah, I'm gonna be fresh off the boat, man.
I'm gonna be very excited, rusty, honestly. Dude. It's been a while since I've played, so like I can't even really remember how combat works. But we'll figure it out, mates. It's all fairly straightforward, and you know, our DM's really sort of onto it. So I've been reading the hand manual, and not the weekend just gone, but the weekend before that, when we had our hiatus that week, we had the Steam sale, and I saw that Raft was on sale. Me and Grizz and a couple of mates, we decided to give Raft a go because we never played it before. And man, what a fucking gem of a game! Sick game.
How good is
wicked,
that
wicked game? Yeah, it's so. I mean, those who haven't played it, it's a survival game. You persist on this little raft that's floating through the ocean. You sort of build stuff on your raft. You're trying to expand this raft, and all whilst this is happening, you've got this shark that's trying to fuck up your raft and basically eat you. So you know, you're trying to navigate this ocean full of islands, and you've got these little hooks that you chuck out to grab like sea debris to add stuff to your raft. And
sea pollution look pretty bad, doesn't it, Cap?
Big time, dude.
Floating through the ocean.
Yeah, it's actually quite a good way to kind of remind people of that, I think, in a way. But I just think the mechanics of the game were really well put together. And I think, I can't remember if it was you who said it or someone else, but apparently the game was made as a uni project, which is just nuts, man. It's so well polished. There's a few little tiny bugs here and there, but nothing major. But yeah, you kind of just float between these islands. And but they recently went out of alpha or beta or whatever, early access. Sorry, and they've released their kind of end game DLC as a full product now. So we're slowly making our way through that. It's been really good.
Now, Cap. Just quickly, did you go and explore the big island that we kind of found? And did you go find
we found
trader?
A couple more big islands.
Did
so,
you? Oh,
yeah. And
I just could not believe how much extra stuff there is hidden behind the trading and reputation bit.
Yeah, it's,
kind of
it's
like,
crazy. Yeah, and we started to figure out how to start getting that stuff from the trader. We found, we built like a radio tower and that gave us access to some endgame stuff, which has given us access to more shit. So it's right. It'll be easy for you to jump back in when you do. But yeah, great game, really great game.
I think as a co-op survival game, that's been one of the best that I have played to date.
Yeah, do you know what? I really think that little hook mechanic with the debris is such a unique one, and I think that really helps a lot because it kind of it doesn't trivialize the gathering mechanics as you normally do. Like, oh, go and hit a tree, go and fucking do this. It's kind of just like this, you know, you weave it into your goings about. You know, it's good.
Yeah. And what I think is also cool, Cap, is before you make a sail, you have no direction of where your raft is going to.
You're just floating in the fucking ocean.
But I rocked up at this island and I got off and I was like messing around the island. I went back and my raft is gone. And it's like, yeah, well, that's it. Game over. Unless I want to live on this on this little island forever, which you just run out of food. So yeah, very, very cool game. Very cool game.
Yeah,
sure.
Great game. Definitely recommend it for anyone that's looking to have their survival game itch scratched and maybe have a few mates to play with. I know you can play solo, but I definitely think you'd want a couple of extra people because I think the just the overall grind of it, definitely, I think your sweet spot's going to be 3+ people for sure.
And dude,
good fun.
The size of your raft in the end game, some of the people you see on Twitch and whatnot, it's like a fucking...
See, I haven't seen anything.
Dude, you wait, man. Well, I don't know. It depends how big you're going to make it. They're like palaces, man. Like 10 stories
really?
High. Yeah, like...
Holy shit.
Huge, big
Serious?
Structures. Yeah, dude, yeah.
Ours is so garbo, man. Ours is just like this fucking like 10x10 raft with a little fucking upper deck that's absolutely shit. And then
I
we
built
just
that up
smattered
it,
all that crap over it. Yeah. No, it's so funny. Ours is such a... It's Mia came in when we were playing the other night. She was like, I hate the feng shui going on here.
Is that what she said? Yeah, we've just got shit like clumped together in the middle of like nowhere.
It was just like as we were just like chucking shit everywhere as we were going. Like we had no direction because we're trying to figure out what the fuck we're doing. And
we need someone with a little bit of design background to come and help us out.
Might need to get Mia on board, you know, on the raft. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing, mate. But look, we've got plenty of other stuff to go through as well, Grizz. Obviously, 2 weeks off, there's a fair few news stories that we want to cover and have a bit of a yarn about. So let's jump straight freaking in. Before we do, however, though, we just want to give a shout out to our wonderful Patreons who help support this cast and keep us, you know, going, help pay our little bills here and there. Sukai, Moosey, Hoan Honey, Caging Runt, Sergeant Paul, you guys fucking rock. Thank you very much. Yeah, kisses, chef kisses.
Long kisses at him, Cap.
Yeah,
yep,
absolutely.
Legends.
Now, we are obviously recording this live via twitch.tv, so if you do ever want to watch this live on a Monday night, we normally go live around about 7 o'clock AWST-ish, depending on how we're going. But yeah, so you can do that. Otherwise, we're available via podcast, and you're probably just listening to that if you're not listening to it live. So you probably already know that. So there you go. Anyways.
So, Cap, what have we got on the dinner plate tonight, mate? What are we talking about?
Mate, the menu's looking mighty fine. So a bit of God of War stuff has just, been announced. I'm sure a lot of people sort of roughly know what's going on with that, but we're going to cover that. PlayStation has announced a new loyalty program, and we'll give you all the tidbits regarding that little bad boy. Looks like good old NFTs are back in the spotlight, mate. Not that they really went anywhere, but, you know, they're back. They're back on the plate. So we're going to have our serving of NFTs tonight. Bayonetta has taken a breath, come up from the depths and resurfaced finally. We got some more news for Bayonetta fans out there. A little bit of, awkward stuff happening in the Ubisoft camp with one of their Assassin's Creed games. We'll talk you all through that and discuss the idea of abandonware. Obviously, the OGR poll, duh. And then quick fire round, of course. So
sounds like an absolute
funny.
Cracker, mate. Absolute cracker.
So let's take a bite, Grizz. God of War Ragnarok, Grizz. They've just released a new trailer. It's shorter than the one they released a few weeks, well, maybe a month or so back. But this new trailer confirms the release date for the new game. They show off a bit of a cinematic thing. I think they called this trailer Father and Son. It's fucking baller as shit.
Yeah.
So it looks really good, man. So yeah, we finally got the November 9th release date, which is awesome. They've announced a heap of collector's editions, including now I think they've already gone to pre-order. So if you weren't quick enough, I do apologize. I'm almost positive this shit will sell out. But they've got Thor's hammer that comes with one of their collector's editions, and it looks pretty fucking rad. I think though, like from the collector's edition stuff, like I mean, so you get here we go, printed voucher code for the full game. A steel books display case, some carvings, the Mjolnir replica, which is Thor's hammer. Signature weapon.
Yep.
And the thing that I reckon is fucking rad, dude, is the Dwarven dice set, which is basically a set of D&D style dice. That look
I would
fucking
consider,
wicked.
I'm going to play this game, but I would consider the collector's edition for sure, just for the dice. Having the Mjolnir would be pretty cool as well. Having that in your stream room would be
pretty I just don't know where I'd put it. It's pretty big. It's I think it's, what is it, 16 inches, which is like, what, it's over like, it's like almost 40 centimeters or something ridiculous.
Like, it's a big, about the release date, mate, before we jump too far into these different editions, it's great to see your final release date to come out just to thwart all those little, those young little whippersnappers who are whinging about thinking that God of War Ragnarok was going to be delayed till next year and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like all games, we're copying that never-ending feedback of the delay
cycle.
Well,
it's interesting though, Grizz, like, because we didn't hear a lot for so long about the release date. So I think people's initial reactions are always going to be like, oh, well, I guess it's not coming out to next year, because that's happened a lot recently, right, with COVID.
Yeah.
Workforces kind of being delayed and whatnot, so...
I think it's a good time, dude. Honestly, I think it's a good time for this game to be released. I can't...
I'm trying to think what else. Maybe World of Warcraft might be out around about then. There's obviously been no specific Dragonflight news as to release date, but I dare say that's probably going to be around about the time when they'll release that.
Can you remember the Elden Ring time, dude? There were so many good games coming out in that period. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I remember Horizon, fucking, what was that one called?
Yeah,
Forbidden West came out just beforehand, which was probably a smart play on their behalf, because if they came out after Elden Ring, I mean, that would have been a tragedy for them. I think, it would have been brutal. But, yeah, so, look, what was it? The 9th? The 9th of the 11th.
Yeah,
Or the 11th of the 9th for you, our American friends out there. But yeah, let's have a bit of a chat about this trailer, Grizz. So, you know, we obviously see what's his name? Kratos and Atreus? I almost got him Atreus, which is the fucking band. It's definitely not the band. But they're kind of having
classic zombie, whatever you call them.
What are they called? Draugr?
Draugr.
So they're having that, you know, having a bit of a battle with the Draugr, and then Kratos gets knocked down into a ravine, quite a dark ravine, and they continue having a little bit more of a battle, and then it looks like the mythical wolf, what was his name again, Grizzo?
Fenrir, I believe.
Fenrir,
totally me just guessing that. But I think
I'm pretty sure you're right, dude. That sounds familiar. They have this big looming wolf figure looking over the top of him, and this wolf is fucking big, mate.
I tell you what,
a big boy.
One thing that I love about the God of War series in general is the larger-than-life aspects of some of the creatures and bits and pieces that they've used in the mythology. The world serpent from the last God of War, the pure size of that in the lake area was just...
Yeah.
Like, to see that first was just like a real wow moment for me in that game. So, seeing the huge, big wolf, Fenrir, if it's Fenrir, standing in front of Atreus and... old mate is it's pretty cinematic.
Yeah, and I mean that definitely seems to sort of stem from, you know, the earlier games as well. I mean, I don't know if you've played the earlier God of War games, Grizz, but you know, a lot of the, well, not all of them, but a lot of the bosses that Kratos fought in those earlier games, and it was much more of a hack and slash kind of action game, less kind of methodical combat like this one is, kind of in the vein of Dark Souls or Soulsborne kind of, which I think is probably the best way to describe the combat. Really?
Yeah. Really well made. And it gets quite complex towards the end, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Different abilities and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
In fact, it gets so complicated that if you come back to God of War after not playing it for a while and you come back halfway through your save state, you're like, oh my God, what are all these things I'm doing?
Quite confusing. I had that exact issue. Like I started God of War, the original, well, not the original, the rebrand or whatever you want to fucking call it, God of War before Ragnarok. And I probably played it through to maybe 6 or 7 hours in. And then I left it for a bit for whatever reason and then came back to it. And I was just like, oh, how the fuck do I play this game, dude? I can't. And like, just the battles are way too difficult at that point because I couldn't implement any of the shit I had learned because I'd forgotten. But yeah, what I wanted to say, Grizz, is like this Fenrir wolf, you know, big being big and the world serpent. It's almost like a harken back to a lot of the older games because they had really big enemies as well. Like I remember you fight this guy called like the World Colossus or some shit, and you're just running up this massive, you're running up his like back and stuff, like, and it's you know, it's like running on a planet almost. It's just it's insane. So definitely kind of drawing on some of those older games. But yeah, I mean, overall I think the trailer looks pretty damn cool. Definitely seems like we're getting more of what we had in the first game. Seems like the combat's going to be fairly similar. Obviously, the tone of the game looks quite similar as well. But it does, well, I guess the whole idea is that it's going to be a lot more big freeze kind of thing, you know, whereas it was kind of like a, I don't know, like permafrost kind of, you know, there was still water and stuff around, but it definitely looks like the whole area that you're scooting around in is the same zone, just frozen, essentially.
Tell you what, mate, must be a crossover from Game of Thrones, mate. The cold is coming. Winter's here. We have had confirmation in the chat that it is Fenrir, and Fenrir is the great wolf of Norse mythology who breaks free from his chains at Ragnarok. So I believe it is obviously built into, there's a bit more text there. You can go look it up if you like. But yes, it does. It is Fenrir. Now, Cap, one thing that I wanted to talk about here is I was curious to know before this trailer, were we going to see a bit more of an elder Atreus in this? Obviously, he's young, so he's going to be aging pretty quick. Now, I believe that this God of War is set 3 years on from the last one that came out.
Yeah, he definitely looks a bit older than the earlier one.
Yeah, and if you listen to his voice, it is a bit deeper, and he does. He looks like a young teen. So apparently he was 11 in the last one, which makes him 14 in this.
So it's the same voice actor? Edition.
I don't know. I definitely can't say that for sure, but you can definitely tell in the trailer he does speak in it. You can definitely tell that his voice is a bit different, especially the image of him at the end standing alongside
Kratos.
Kratos, thank you. He can definitely tell that he's a bit more matured, mate. So, and I believe hopefully he's hunting his own boars and things at this stage. Cap, no more training him how to
tell you what, man,
straight and things, mate, you know?
One thing I do hope that maybe we don't get too much of, because I just don't know if I can really be fucked with it, is the whole, like, angsty teen thing. Because we got a little bit of that in the first one, and it was just like, it was like, dude, you're fucking dealing with gods on a fucking, fucking cataclysmic scale. Can you maybe just tone back the fucking, you know, the angsty teen shit?
Well, to me, Cap, he was learning what the lessons that his dad was trying to teach him in the first one. And I feel like I hadn't finished the last God of War, Cap, but I will. But I feel like where I got to, he was slowly learning, and not only learning, but getting to know his dad a bit more. So I really hope coming into this one, they are like a combined force and he knows his place and they get along and all this. Like, I just think it's such a beautifully told story, the first one, between, if you're a parent, it really resonated with me. The kind of those, I feel like he never really had that time with his dad till the mum died, and he was just really adjusting to that life in that game. And I found that a really powerful message playing through the game. So I hope that this one kind of builds upon that relationship and goes in that direction. So it'll be
absolutely. Yep, looks really good. Very, very, very keen. So strap yourselves in for November 9th, PS5, PS4 as well, Grizz. So you can play it on that old doorstop that you've got at home.
Before you move on, Cap, if you buy the PS4 version and you would like to upgrade it to the PS5 version, it will cost you only $10.
That's pretty good, actually. That's actually not too bad. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty reasonable, because I know PlayStation said that they're going to stop supporting, you know, obviously free digital upgrades for games after a certain point, and I think we well and truly passed that. So the fact that they're doing something in that realm is actually quite nice of them. And I think, for the most part. So, yeah, fucking good on them. Cool. Now, Grizz.
Yes, sir.
Speaking about PlayStations, PlayStation has just announced a new loyalty program called PlayStation Stars. Now, have you heard anything about this, Grizz?
Not until you posted about it today, and then I went and did some reading. But, yep. Yeah, interesting, mate. Talk me through
it. Yeah. Well, look, so they released a bit of a blog post about this. I don't think it's implemented yet, nor do we have a exact date as to when this will be fully launched. But basically we had the vice president of networking, advertising, loyalty, and licensed merchandise, Grace Chen, talk about how they had been wanting to bring something like this into fruition for a while. Now, the idea is that PlayStation Stars basically gives you the opportunity to earn loyalty points, and they can be redeemed in a catalog that may include PSN wallet funds and select PlayStation Store products. As an additional benefit, PlayStation Plus members enrolled in PlayStation Stars automatically earn points for purchases on the PlayStation Store. So I don't know if you've seen, Grizz, but a lot of, like, for example, Nintendo, anytime you buy stuff on their store, you get, like, Nintendo bucks. I can't remember what you fucking call it, but that literally it equates to some amount of money that you can then use as credit in the store. So similar
Nintendo
kind of thing.
Nintendo Platinum Points, Cap. Nintendo Platinum Points.
I like Nintendo bucks. Nintendo bucks. But yeah, so and to kind of further sweeten the deal, or at least they thought, they also mentioned, I'm just going to read this verbatim because I think a lot of people saw this and went, oh God, what the fuck? And said, also, as part of PlayStation Stars, we are unveiling a new type of reward called digital collectibles. And then everyone's going, oh no, they're doing NFTs. Collectibles are as diverse as our portfolio of products and franchises. They are digital representations of things that PlayStation fans enjoy, including figurines, beloved and iconic characters from games and other forms of entertainment, as well as our cherished devices that tap into Sony's history of innovation. There will always be a new collectible to earn, an ultra-rare collectible to strive for, or something surprising to collect just for fun. I mean, a lot of people's initial reaction for this was just like, fuck, man, they fucking fell for the NFT trap. Idiots, what were you thinking? Like, really? Yeah. Come on, Sony. But they did come back a little while later and say, hey, just so you know, these are definitely not NFTs. So what do they actually look like in this sort of service? We're not quite too sure yet. I think it might literally look like little miniature trophies and stuff like that, that you maybe have like a museum kind of thing.
Some of these are hidden behind some really cool things I have heard, Cap. So things like the world first to get a platinum trophy in a certain game in your region.
Yep.
So there's going to be, I mean, let's talk about collectibles as a whole. I'm not a trophy collector, Cap, on the PlayStation Store. It's not my thing, but I do have friends that are that chase those platinums and other bits and pieces. There's a huge market for it. And I think this is something that is quite cool. I know Nintendo do something very similar, in fact, almost identical to this, and I can see probably some of the inspirations come from Nintendo. So they actually have these collection points thing as well. And it's not just for buying your products from the store. It is also from undertaking missions, which you can get, which are reset on a basis, and then you go do those, and then you'll collect points on your thing. Now, the difference with Nintendo's one, and it might be the same here with PlayStation, I'm not 100% sure, but you buy physical things with it. You can buy tote bags, keychains, stickers, whatever else, and then you just pay the postage for that item and it will be sent out to you. So it'll be interesting to see how PlayStation kind of embeds this. Is it going to be like a trophy system, an addition to the trophy system on your PlayStation account, Cap? Are you going to be trading some of these points in as well as these other trophy things for actual products or whatnot? Who knows, mate?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, how will they execute it? Ultimately, Grizz, like, I think people have been kind of lukewarm on this a little bit for the most part, like, I kind of feel like there's no real reason to be lukewarm on it because it's just, you're just getting something for free for playing fucking Sony. I mean, isn't the kind of thing that makes me go, oh, well, I'm definitely only going to play Sony because I want to get my fucking Sony bucks. You know, it's not going to influence me. It's probably what Sony would like you to do because, You know, they want you to try and, you know, have incentive to go and play those games on their console. So they're obviously incentivizing you to do that. But I think for the most part, man, when we're kind of getting something for free, the fact that they're actually giving away PSN wallet funds, I think is actually kind of nuts for Sony, because traditionally they've been pretty fucking cagey on doing shit like that. But I actually, so Grizz, I actually think, right, this is my fucking opinion. I actually reckon that this originally had some amount of NFT blockchain shit embedded.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely. And I reckon what's happened is over time, they've seen how people have been reacting to blockchain and NFT integration in video games. And they had to do a full fucking, let's get out of this shit. And they've basically, this is what they came up with instead.
Let's talk about that, Cap, because Chen specifically mentioned that they weren't incorporating NFTs, making that as a specific point of a further piece of this announcement. So we've seen, like you say, like we've seen backlash in the past games regarding NFTs and incorporating those. And the one that comes to mind straight away is EA and the way that in November 2021, Cap, CEO Andrew Wilson came out and said NFTs will be an important part of the future of our gaming industry.
Yep.
And we hope to grow the business using NFTs. And now they've kind of recently started to go lukewarm on NFTs, saying, oh, actually, it's not a direction that EA is looking to take as much. And stop.
Who'd have fucking
that.
Thought this gigantically fucking unstable, fucking stupid, fucking digital representation of something that doesn't really fucking exist would be so fucking unpopular unstable and maybe not a good idea to fucking invest in with your company? Because, I mean, let's have a look at what's happened to. You know, I think it's on the up at the moment, but, you know, crypto hasn't been doing particularly well recently. But, you know, Grizz, obviously we've had Square Enix have said that they want to really push the NFT fucking, level up. Ubisoft have done the same fucking thing with, I know, Ghost Recon. They recently announced some, special armor sets that were only available as NFTs, and you could be the only person that owns them in the game. But, I think, honestly, Grizz, I'm really glad that they didn't do NFTs, but I definitely think that they maybe thought that this might be an NFT scheme to begin with and did a big backpedal.
Absolutely. And the thing that comes down to it here, Cap, is that PlayStation are recognizing collectability, right? They're also recognizing that done the right way, you can have a system like Nintendo's and like they're probably looking to implement, where you've got a way where you can earn collectibles that might mean something to you and others, depending on what it is. If you get the world first in your region for, say, a platinum in Elden Ring, and you get a collectible for that or whatever it might be, that's pretty cool, without having to incorporate the use of blockchain and NFTs. Now, I think it'd be rude for us to not touch briefly on why NFTs are so frowned upon. I've got 5 points here, Cap, and I hope that these summarize very quickly why NFTs are frowned upon, especially when they're trying to be incorporated into gaming. We obviously don't want to go down the rabbit hole and fucking have a big rest of the episode yarning about why NFTs are frowned upon, but here's a couple for you here, Cap. So first one is they're bad for the environment. They rely on cryptocurrencies and blockchain, which use huge amounts of energy to produce. So you've got more carbon emissions. They are only valuable as tools for money laundering. So there's lots of money laundering and tax evasion and stuff. So basically, Cap, if you came and did some dodgy work for me and I wanted to pay you without having to pay tax, I could buy you.
I'll pay you
NFT.
With this dodgy coin.
I could pay
this
NFTs,
thing that
mate.
Doesn't exist. Actually, when you think about it, that's kind of fun. It's like, hey, can you pay me for my services? Yes. Have this non-existent coin, but I swear it exists. It has value, I swear.
That's exactly right. A lot of the artwork that are NFTs are stolen. In fact, there's some stat where it's like up near the 90% of the artwork are not actually, someone hasn't actually made that. The Concerned Ape and a lot of the ones that are popular are, but there is a whole heap of them out there that aren't, that are just stolen artwork. So they're actually not acquired in the way that they should be. The work hasn't been paid for and everything else. The market's unregulated. So in the NFT space, you see everything from pump and dump schemes. The people that, like Elon Musk, an example, he pushed the Dogecoin go up, flying through the roof, and then sold it off to make a couple of quick bucks. And it's very, the market is very contingent on
volatile.
People. Yeah, volatile. People in positions of power. So it's just not a very nice one. There's an uncanny resemblance between these profit-driven grifts and pyramid schemes. Those at the top do very well. Those at the bottom are bottom feeders, maybe making a couple of bucks. And
that's the thing, Grizz. I just think, like, I really feel like because there is no inherent value to these things, the best way to make money off this is to, if you have a lot of money, buy a shitload so the price goes up and fucking dump them. Because that's what happens. People will see, oh, shit, someone's bought a shitload of this coin. Like, why are they doing that? Okay, I'll buy in. And then the person who has the biggest amount of stock, you know, can they just dump it because they don't need it anymore, go and do it again. It's just like all crypto and NFTs and all this other shit is just, it's just people who have money making more money, and then people who don't have an awful lot of money just turn into the chumps fucking footing the bill. That's all it fucking is. But I think the worst one for me, Grizz, honestly, is the environmental cost. If you see some of the fucking pictures of these fucking like warehouses that people have turned into Bitcoin mining rigs, it is honestly gross. To the point where like, you know, China's outlawed, you know, Bitcoin mining and all that kind of stuff, I believe. And the reason was because like there was people just like siphoning power from places just to get these rackets going, and causing all kinds of issues, you know, with unpaid bills and all this other shit. So it's not just brutal, that, man.
You know, we're also in a climate cap where we're trying to convert from coal and oil and nuclear power into a green energy, a green clean energy. And realistically, we've got other problems to face. Like crypto fucking using way too much power inefficiently and everything else. Like, you know, we haven't got an energy crisis, but right now you look at Sydney and the East Coast and they are literally on the verge of running out of energy, Cap, and I'm not even
fucking
joking,
and then you've got
mate.
Queensland that's underwater. You know, the UK has got is experiencing 40 degree days, as well as, you know, there's literally bushfires in France and Spain and shit, dude. The world is fucking begging for mercy right now. We're doing no favors.
You know what's really funny, Cap, is we're having this conversation, right? We've just lifted off all these facts why crypto and NFTs is no good. I turned on the TV the other day. What advertising do I see on the AFL game? All over the fucking banners and everywhere else. It's all crypto stuff. It's all cryptocurrency.
But
it's
dude, like, this is the thing though. These guys have the money, and actually, this leads well into this next story that I wanted to just kind of touch on and probably not delve too big into, but. Basically, in Brazil, they have this festival dedicated to kind of new game trends and stuff. And they had this game developer called Mark Venturelli give a bit of a talk on the future of game design. And this particular festival, I can't exactly remember what the festival was called, but basically the festival was quite heavily sponsored by some big crypto games companies. And you know, just doing the same old shit of, oh guys, like crypto is so exciting, and you know, I know all these new crypto games have done absolutely dog shit, but you know, I swear the next ones are going to be great, and you know, we've sponsored this thing. And again, it's the same old story of just too much money because they've managed to make the most out of this shit, and then everyone else around them just suffers because, you know, they can't obviously capitalize because they don't have the kind of pockets that they do. Anyways, Mark basically started his little speech and presentation, and then just went deep on the fuck NFTs, you know, rhetoric, and to the point where he actually gave his speech to the guys who put together the festival, and they greenlit what he was going to do, and obviously it was like next level shit because the guys who were sponsoring were just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? What the fuck? To the point where they tried to stop him, and then the festival organizers wouldn't let them get near the stage, which
he
was
got, he
awesome.
He got a standing ovation or something, didn't he, Cap?
Everyone he did get a standing ovation. But he did say one thing that I found quite poignant. I'm going to kind of, you know, rattle this off the top of my head because I can't find the exact thing in here. But he basically just kind of said, like, look, you know, like, The whole idea behind crypto and NFTs and stuff was kind of decentralizing from these organizations that we don't trust. But now we have this system where, you know, we can't trust anyone because it's so fucking deregulated and all fucked. And it's just like, what's the fucking point? It's just bullshit.
Exactly right, dude.
And obviously, I think the worst thing, I think NFTs are one of the worst fucking things that has happened to gaming ever. And the reason I think that is because I just feel like all it does is draw a big line in the sand between people who have money and people who don't have money. And I really do feel like games and gaming in general has been one of these places where everyone can just come and just enjoy the pure fun of just, you know, a game, a video game. And now people are shoehorning shit to monetize. And all NFTs have done has just hit this exclusivity point to where, you know, the only way to have those things is to have money. And obviously, you know, there's a buying cost for video games. I get that. But, you know, all it really does is just, I just think it's garbage.
$15 for the Cuphead DLC cap, only $15.
Exactly, mate. You can go and buy a raft on sale for like $20. So, yeah. But anyways, yeah. I just thought the whole idea behind Mark and what he was kind of saying, and just kind of sticking it to the man. And I think another thing that I found really poignant was he kind of said, like, you know, we can boycott this stuff and just not interact with it, but it's way more important for us to speak up and speak out about this shit, because otherwise, all we're going to do is just have these companies just speak over the top.
Yeah, and just on that, Cap, he also mentioned about any crypto or NFT thing that you see, they are paid to advertise at that convention, for example. Crypto will be paying to advertise at the AFL and everything else. It's not the other way around. It's not a service that the gaming industry wants and needs. It's the other way around.
They'll be paying.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like a – it's not – it.
They're irrelevant. They're buying their relevancy and shoehorning themselves into a place that doesn't need them. To the point where they're basically weakening and, you know, essentially ruining our pillar of enjoyment just because they want to make some fucking money out of us. But yeah. Now, Grizz, we decided to make this week's OGR poll about NFTs. And I thought the fucking results were fucking great. So the poll went along like this. This week, we want to know how you feel about the blockchain and NFTs being integrated into new and current games. As always, very interested to hear your thoughts in the comments below. And we didn't receive any comments, but Chris, do you want to give us a breakdown of what we had and what we got?
The first option was love it, give me more. Hang on. So what was the... Right. Love it. Give me more. Not fussed, really. And the last one was super not stoked about NFTs being in gaming. We received an overwhelming response cap of 85.7% of the people saying super not stoked. And then the rest were all in the not fussed, really. So they either don't care that there's NFTs in gaming or they're super not stoked, which we had lots of votes for. So paints a pretty clear picture there.
Yeah, but so I mean, overall, fuck NFTs. but yeah, anyways, moving along, Grizzler. So, over the hiatus that we had, Grizz, Bayonetta 3, the fucking trailer for Bayonetta 3, fans have been waiting and waiting for this to hit YouTube. We finally got the brand new trailer for Bayonetta 3, and we got a date of release. I can't figure out where the fuck. Oh yes, here we go. 28th of October. With a new trailer, and it looks pretty much more of the same. So if you are a Bayonetta fan, I think you're gonna be super stoked. Looks like they're kind of really doubling down on this whole sexy witch thing. Who's also a demon. And she has guns on her feet. Yeah. So cool. Yeah, she's got like stiletto guns, pretty fucking baller. But yeah, still got the same kind of art style, I guess. Continuing down that line, I guess, just sort of pushing the story forward. Looks like she's got sort of more demon shit going on with her hair and stuff, which is pretty radical. But yeah, the trailer looks pretty cool. Grizz, what did you kind of think, mate? Have you ever played a Bayonetta game?
No, mate, I've never played a Bayonetta. I don't know. Now I'm watching this, I kind of feel like that maybe I have. I feel like the combat is pretty unique. I feel like maybe that I have played this. It's a real button bash combo kind of cooldown heavy.
Yeah, kind of reminds me a little bit of like Devil May Cry and that kind of stuff. Just kind of like sexy witch influence instead.
Have you played these, Cap? Do you like these
games? I've played a bit of the first one. It wasn't really for me, to be quite honest. They're not really my games, like the the style of game, but could definitely appreciate the visuals.
Now, Cap, is this coming straight? This is coming on Switch only. Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
Yeah, so I believe the earlier ones, like, they only came to Nintendo consoles. So, okay. For example, I'm reading here that, you know, Bayonetta 2 was released in 2014 on the Wii U, later remade for Switch, etc.
I will say this. Yeah. I feel like in the modern day and age of gaming, it doesn't wow me with its graphics, but I think that's mainly because it's coming out on a console that might be getting a little bit old, Cap. Now.
Yeah, and we've spoke about this for so long, Grizz. Like, I really do feel like the Switch is really getting long in the tooth, and I would love to know what the fuck their plan is going forward. But yeah, there's one particular character we just saw in the trailer. If you're watching from watching in the video, looked a bit like Tilda Swinton or whatever her name is. So, yeah, what the fuck is she doing in there? We'll find out on what is it? The 28th of October. But Grizz, one interesting thing they've got. So for those who haven't played a Bayonetta game before, she's pretty scantily clad, and you know, there's some kind of dubious shit that goes on in that game. You know, a lot of sort of sexual themes. But they
can't
have
like hit people with sex toys and shit, Cap, and things.
I don't know if they go that far. Maybe okay. I haven't played enough of it, but they basically have released this. Maybe that's just your hopeful mind, Grizz. But but they've released alongside Bayonetta 3 a new mode called Naive Angel Mode, which de-sexifies the game a little bit, so you can play it in your living room and around small children.
So it's definitely for Jimmy. This is a Jimmy.
This is Jimmy Stumps mode. So I mean, if you're kind of keen on playing this game, and you're kind of like, well, I want to play this game, but I don't want to play it on you know, full sexy mode because I don't want my parents to walk in on this shit. You can play it in Naive Angel Mode. Or you can just not have full sexy Bayonetta everywhere.
There's been a bit of an outroar about this option being available, isn't there? Saying it's not true to the game, and there's been some pointed. I mean, there's always going to be upset nerds, let's be honest, but there's been a couple of upset nerds about this.
Oh man, why do people have to fucking have a cry about shit like this? Like, they literally, you can turn it on and off. Just if you don't want it, don't fucking use it.
Yeah. Like, and you know what? I can see. I mean, like, look, I catch the train to work. It's a console.
Imagine flying handheld on the train.
Yeah, dude,
someone's looking over like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Playing some fucking hentai game on the train.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so I can definitely see its uses. And I think if I was to have this game, and I would potentially think about turning on the, what'd you call it, Naive Angel Mode.
Yeah,
the train rides,
because we're naive angels here, Grizzler.
That's right.
So
very true.
Yeah, but there you go. So Bayonetta coming 28th of October, and yeah, it will ship with a less sexy mode if you want to go down that rabbit
hole. Look at that big crab, dude. You see that? It's the writing on a big crab. That's so cool.
So yeah, it looks like there's some traversal options with you know, jumping on crabs and shit, and you can use them to climb up walls and shit. But yeah, I mean, I don't have an awful lot to say about Bayonetta, unfortunately, because I've never really played an awful lot. But I mean, I know that they are famous for their sort of action sequences and on rails sort of stuff, and also like fighting against huge like universal gods and stuff like that, like just super nuts scale stuff, similar to kind of older God of War stuff, I think. But yeah, really
cool. I also think the combat is highly regarded as well, Cap, as being very well designed and fluid and nice to play. You hear about the Bayonetta, and like you said, I think Devil May Cry is in a similar vein to that as well. So yeah, seems cool.
Yeah. Actually, Sporkland in the Twitch chat has said something quite interesting. I kind of agree with this, actually. Spork said, society is a bit fucked when the nudity is optionally removed, but no mention about changing the violence to be family friendly, which, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think violence often gets a green card, but I mean, like, you know, sexual themes do too.
Implement a no violence mode. Like, what are you going to do?
Just make all the blood white, so it just looks like something else.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was going to say, sort of removing blood and stuff. I thought you meant like not hitting them and doing something
else. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, I suppose it would be difficult to address violence in a game that's all about violence, but I definitely
Remember when Fortnite changed their verbiage for killing the other player to eliminating the other player? That was a step change.
Yep. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of examples of kind of trying to ease up on the violent tone, but it's kind of hard when like a lot of our media is just so entwined with some amount of violence. But it's a very good point, Spork, and I kind of agree. But yeah, so there you go. Bayonetta. Now, Grizz,
Bayonetta,
have you ever played Assassin's Creed Liberation?
No. In fact, I think I may have told you this once before. I played the very first ever Assassin's Creed game. And then after that, I just kind of lost it with the series. I haven't played any since then. Just the linearity of it for me.
You haven't played any of the fucking 15 million Assassin's Creed games?
Not really. But I did quite like the whole thing of like using memories to go back in time and experience things. I thought that was quite cool. But no.
I did too. And then they removed that.
Did they?
They kind of just ignored it.
Is that not the thing that happens anymore?
They kind of went in and out of it. And I think they kind of felt like their identity was too much of that. Oh, man, Assassin's Creed's been through some shit, you know? They just, just weird.
Dude,
just,
my old man's a big sci-fi buff, and I remember him watching me play that game, and he was, like, intrigued with
how I was going.
Yeah, he thought it was pretty cool. Just like,
I bet he would. Yeah, I mean, Assassin's Creed's freaking cool, but anyways. So, Assassin's Creed Liberation, it's a, I think it takes place in, like, the Revolution era of America or something like that. I haven't played this particular one. I've played a lot of Assassin's Creed games, so I haven't played this one. But anyways, its listing on Steam noted that it was going to be essentially no longer available for sale on Steam and that this title would then thus not be accessible following September 1st, which...
Kazi's said, I have just started playing it the other day. So is he going to be upset that he's not going to be able to play this anymore? Cap, is that... are they like just removing this and you can't play it? Is that what's happening?
Oh, let me get there. Okay. Now, I also think you misread what Kazi said. I think someone asked him how his day was going, and then he said, good, thanks, basically. And then you misconstrued it to be being that it was his first ever Assassin's Creed title day today.
Well, that would be me. That would be me misreading chat. Sounds like thing that I do.
But yeah, so Assassin's Creed Liberation. Yeah, so they basically had this notice pop up on Steam saying, hey, just so you know, you're not going to be able to play this after the 1st of September. Which people were just like, what the fuck? I paid for this game and now I might not be able to play it anymore. How's that work? Like, even if it's on my computer, can I not play it? So people were sort of saying, hey, if you own this game, you might want to fucking play it pretty quick and finish it because you might not get a chance on Steam anymore. And kind of kicked up this whole stink about, effectively digital game platforms, they don't really have to support games beyond end of life if they don't want to, and that they don't have to preserve games in any way because I don't believe it contractually they have to, just in general.
Digital goods in general, Cap, and this even goes back to NFTs that we're talking about, owning a picture of the internet that is decentralized. Like, do you actually really own that? What if the platform goes down, you lose all your shit?
Well, I think that's kind of the idea, is like you kind of almost just own the access in a sense until that access is revoked, and then
that's scary, man. I actually really like having physical copies of games for that reason. So if you had I would assume that this is probably on console somewhere too, if you have a disc, can you play this game? Is that
presumably I would assume so. Yeah. So there has since been an update, Grizz, which I will get to now, is basically Ubisoft sort of came back and said, hey, look, we poorly worded that. The multiplayer is going to be getting decommissioned. You can still play the game. But obviously, holy fuck, guys, that's a pretty shit wording exercise. So maybe get your shit together. But it kind of brought up this whole thing about games preservation, Grizz, and I kind of just wanted to briefly touch on this because I think it's a really important thing ultimately is, we kind of live in this era where games companies want to just kind of sit on their IPs forever and ever, even old games. Nintendo's really bad for it as well. Like, even World of Warcraft has kind of had the same issue with World of Warcraft Vanilla and stuff, and obviously they've post-released Classic. Vanilla servers.
Yeah. And the only reason why they did that, though, Cap, is because they had these people making private servers that kind of drove them into making money from that.
Yeah, but it kind of like brings up this question of like, well, I mean, if you're not going to fully support the game, why? I understand the whole idea of IP preservation and you know, trying to like sort of look after your intellectual property. But I mean, essentially, it'd be nice if some publishers just kind of ignored that and maybe just accepted that abandonware is around. And the idea of abandonware is essentially software that, you know, software developers basically go, yeah, we're not really looking after this anymore. So if the community wants to go ahead and, you know, break it down, make up servers and go for gold. But I suppose ultimately it comes down to game developer. Well, companies essentially just want to always have their IP in their back pocket so that they can turn around and go, oh, well, that old game is now included in this, you know, thing we're selling or, yeah, you know, whatever, which is fine. I get that. It's just, it kind of sucks when people get fully penalized because they can't play games they really enjoy, you know, in the interim.
100%, 100%. Imagine if they did take this away and this was like, there was like one speedrunner, someone that was invested their whole life in speedrunning this.
Yeah, maybe they were a couple of runs off the urn, you know, they, you know, they, and then this happened, you'd be spewing.
Absolutely spewed.
But yeah,
so
I just thought
so
overall
what is the
it was
shelf
quite
life,
interesting.
Cap? I mean, let's just talk about this a little bit more. So, Super Mario World, for example, you know, Nintendo's never going to touch that again. It's not going to get, I don't think that'll ever get a remake or anything else. Maybe it'll pop up, already has popped up on the Switch. But we see like ROM hacks, right? Or they call them ROM games, I think, because they can't say hack in GDQ. That hasn't had a cease and desist from Nintendo or anything like that. But
well, I think because it kind of lies in this weird legal space where I think ROM, if you technically own a ROM game, you have the right to interact with that property. So if you own one, I think it's okay. But obviously, a lot of people don't own them. And just do it anyways. So it's kind of like this weird sort of loophole. And I mean, obviously, like having old ROMs like Super Mario World and you're kind of creating these new levels and stuff kind of exists outside the bubble. And Nintendo have tried to capitalize on that with Mario Maker and stuff, but it is super interesting regardless.
Yeah,
actually, Jim in chat is saying that's, I think that's the case for Australia, not so much for the rest of the world. So maybe I vaguely remember maybe Europe might have the same approach to that. Maybe not America. Maybe someone from the Americas might be able to chime in if they have any idea how that works over in their sort of neck of the woods. But yeah, ultimately, I think, it would just be nice to see a few more companies maybe just because, I mean, this will continue to happen, especially, you know, we're kind of entering this time in and space, Grizz, where we've got a lot of games as a service. You know, think about games like, you know, for example, Spellbreak. You know, I mean, effectively, if people wanted to keep playing that, they can't now, right? So, you know, it would be kind of nice if, you know, developers would go, hey, look, if you guys want to run community servers or whatever, here, you know, you know, go for gold. We're not gonna chase you down with the lawyers or anything. Like, you know, go for broke.
I guess it's interesting also, Cap, that we're in the age of remakes now. So I guess maybe some of those older games that should they ever be no longer supported. Maybe that's because, I don't know, like the developers working on remaking that particular title or something, or
especially these days, dude. Like, I think you're 100% right. Is like, you know, maybe, you know, 10 years ago, Abandonware and the idea of remakes weren't quite as, you know, especially the idea of remakes probably weren't as topical as they are today. Whereas, you know, these days, I feel like every fucking week we've got a new remake announced. You know, absolutely, even The Last of Us Part One, you know, that's, you know, that game's been around, you know, for, you know, 10 years still. And that's obviously getting a full remake now, which is kind of nuts when you think about it. So I think the way that game developers and companies are utilizing their IPs in this idea of, you know, creating remakes is kind of changing the ball game a little bit and maybe kind of devalues the idea of, you know, Abandonware being supported. But I do hope that maybe, you know, companies that don't intend to do anything like that maybe do kind of support these communities that are built around these games. And you know, because, I mean, think about some of the, you know, think about World of Warcraft, dude, like, and the communities that get built around those games.
Oh,
even
huge,
like,
man.
Heroes of the Storm, for example, like, I mean, that's just basically gone into, I mean, it's still being, they're keeping the servers running, but they're essentially, they announced the other day that we're not going to be supporting this game any further, essentially, with any new content. So, you know, I mean, that's basically in caretaker mode now. I mean, what happens in the next 5 years when they eventually go, well, we don't really want to run the servers because we're not really making any money? It will happen eventually. But, I mean, hopefully they'll go, and I know Blizzard won't do this because it's just not a very Blizzard thing to do. No worries. If you guys want to have community servers, go for gold. They definitely won't do that.
Well, there's a period of time where I know that Blizzard were turning a blind eye to classic servers for ages. You know, they were out there, BC server, Wrath server, everything else. And I think it came a point in time where they realized that they were missing out on a significant portion of money by not going back and creating a legit service of those games. And that's when I was actually on one, and it got shut down. It got Blizzard takedown notice.
Is that right? Longer.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. It just disappeared. So
wow.
I believe there's still our private servers around. But yeah, that it feels like that's something that happens. Hey, guess what? I think Pav's mic has shit the bed. He can't talk. So it's pretty funny.
Oh, really?
We can talk about him instead.
Sweet. We can no, he's back.
He is there.
I wasn't sure. Everything's died though.
We'd have some technical difficulties earlier in the episode today. So you know, it's just little teething issues with Pav moving into his new pad. The Pav pad, as you might say.
Pad.
But yeah. Now, Grizz, that kind of covers the main topics that we wanted to sort of look at today. So I think we might just freaking jump straight into the quick fire. We've got a bit of time up our sleeve. Let's take a walk through the quick fire side and slow fire
it. Yeah.
We'll slow fire it. So Grizzly, Forspoken has been delayed again. Can you fucking believe it?
This wasn't on my radar, Cap, until someone spoke about it the other day saying how freaking excited they were for Forspoken. Give me a bit of a run through. What is Forspoken, Cap, and why is it delayed?
So Forspoken is, I believe, a PlayStation 5. I think it's coming to Microsoft as well by the looks of things. But basically, it's this kind of... you got a protagonist and she gets pulled into this fantasy realm from the, you know, the current day, and then has to kind of has all these magical powers, and then she's sort of running around this magical fantasy realm doing bits and pieces and yada, yada, yada. In all honesty, I think it's fairly uninspired. I think it looks pretty fucking boring. I mean, some of the combat stuff looks pretty interesting. She kind of scoots around the landscape, like kind
very
of skating.
Beautiful visual.
It looks really nice. It looks really nice. I do worry that it's going to suffer from my least favorite trope of just like the protagonist being like overly edgy and just like super quirky, and it, to the point where it just annoys me.
Just make him not talk like Elden Ring, Cap. That's how you get around that, mate. Just
easy. Fucking duh. Like the best game ever. Just do the same thing. But like, even I don't know if you remember, Grizz, but like it kind of reminds me of like, you know, that Redfall game, that's that vampire game coming from Bethesda. Like all of their protagonists just had that overly edgy kind of tone of voice, and just I was just like, oh god, it's just so boring. But yeah, anyways, and cringy. But yeah, so Forspoken, action and role-playing game. I think you shoot spells kind of like you would, you know, like a gun kind of thing, and that's kind of how you
spell
go about doing things.
Looks pretty dang
spell
cool.
Slinging.
Also
yeah, it definitely
like
looks
Spider-Man
interesting.
Spider-Man action, Cap. You can see like spidering herself from obstacle to obstacle.
I don't know. I just think the story looks really weird. And just it kind of there's this I can't remember what they call it, but in anime, like they have this particular like genre of anime where it's like you know, pulled into a fantasy realm from real life, and then the character's got to go and do, you know, the stuff in that fantasy realm from like, you know, IRL essentially. And it's kind of got the same flavor as that. And I just find those animes to be so shit. So I kind of get the same vibe from this. But
so, Cap, look, what you're telling me is you are not at all concerned that this game is delayed.
No, not at all. I wasn't waiting for it anyway. But it has been delayed to, I think, January 24th or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, if you are kind of waiting for it, yeah, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Look, it looks nice. It could be good. Who knows? We'll see. But Square Enix. Maybe they delayed it so they could pump a heap of fucking NFTs into it, Grizz.
Oh, I'd be really excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So fucking,
sounds awesome.
Fucking batten down the hatches. Now, Grizz, next one on the quickfire. CD Projekt Red has revealed a roguelike game out of the current game Gwent called Rogue Mage. Looks pretty fucking cool.
Yes,
have you had a look?
Cap. No, but I've played a lot of Gwent, and I can just already imagine how amazing a roguelite using the Gwent mechanics would be. I think that we saw a lot of success come from Slay the Spire, which is a very similar roguelite, a deck builder.
I wonder how many copies they sold of Slay the Spire.
Oh, man, it's got to be some ridiculous. Someone do that. Give it a quick Google.
I'm going to look it up.
This sounds like a match made in heaven to me, Cap. A Gwent roguelite sounds fantastic. It's my favorite archetype, as you would know. Roguelites in general, love them.
Slay the Spire has sold 1.5 million copies.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Isn't it? $20 a pop.
You know what, dude? It is my favorite Switch game that I've got. I reckon I would have over 1,000 hours on it.
Really?
It trains most morning. Yeah, I'll be.
Yeah.
I'll be
pumping a bit of Slay the Spire, yeah, and it's on mobile phones now as well.
Is it? Far out, man.
Yeah. Cool. So just to give you a bit of a rundown on the gameplay. It obviously utilizes Gwent game mechanics, but it sort of gives it a bit more of a roguelike flavor. So you're kind of like, I guess, probably picking cards and bits and pieces to add to your thing. And you're kind of doing runs over and over again to try and get to the end. Unleash powerful sorceries on your enemies. Use your energy resource to cast powerful spells from your vast magical arsenal. Choose your path, make your way across a perilous land, and fight your way to legendary monsters to harvest precious mutagens for your experiments. Improvise and adapt. Discover the most powerful combos from hundreds of cards taken from Gwent, as well as brand new ones. Progress every step of the way. Fight hundreds of legendary treasures and upgrades for your army to overcome any obstacle and become the Grand Master. It honestly looks pretty sweet.
Sounds so good, man.
I actually think this would... This is kind of maybe I want to give this a bit of a crack because I don't know. I like the whole idea of roguelike card games. I kind of like, you know, for example, what was that fucking that horror one that we played a little while ago? Remember that
Say
one?
Say that again. Sorry, I was
the
I
horror
was,
one.
The horror
roguelike card game.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the fucking name of it, dude.
Well, yeah, you love
maybe
that,
someone
dude.
In chat. That was such a sick game. I can't remember what it was called, though. Shit.
I've got it on Steam. Hang on.
Horror rogue card game. I have to look it up, man. I can't do it. Inscription. Great freaking game. Excellent
Lama knows
game.
What we're talking about.
Yeah. I do love those.
They've already got a price on this, mate. Gwent Rogue.
Yeah, it's available now.
It's available now?
It's available right now, Grizzly.
Sorry,
for a low price of...
I've got to go.
What,
see
like $12? Jesus, get back in here, you motherfucker. How much is it, Grizz?
It's $10, mate.
$10? I wonder if you can get it on your phone. I reckon this would be something I play on my phone.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a look. Phone game.
Dang. After this, I'm going to go watch some Twitch of this and check it out. I reckon it sounds real cool. It sounds
absolutely
good.
Looks very freaking nice. So, yeah, go and check that out if you're interested in Gwent or roguelike card game, battle game things. Now, Grizz. I believe, we have definitely spoken about Final Fantasy 16, the next iteration coming to the Final Fantasy franchise soon. I don't think we spoke about this, but we might have. we definitely spoke about how the developers were trying to sort of capture the younger audience, but they explicitly have come out now and said that they ditched turn-based combat to appeal to younger generations, which makes me... So sad.
Yeah, dude.
So
I remember
sad.
Last time we did talk about this, and you told me that you didn't like you actually prefer the turn-based combat.
I just think it's more methodical, you know, and kind of like that. I don't mind action. You know, I don't mind what they've done in recent iterations with 15 and whatever else.
They're not catering to old blokes like us anymore, Cap.
Yeah, mate.
Our fucking boomer fingers trying to get around these, that real-time combat.
It's like when you squeeze your fingers and it sounds like a fucking twig snaps, you know? You know? It's hard. It's hard for a boomer. But yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, obviously, that's probably where the money is trying to get. I mean, obviously, a lot of dude, it makes sense, right? A lot of old kind of Final Fantasy gamers are just going to pick this game up regardless, right? So they've already captured that part of the audience. So obviously, what are they going to do next? They're going to try and capture a different part of the audience, which would be the younger generation that maybe hasn't played many Final Fantasy games. How do we do that? Try and, you know, sort of more action-y based combat that they obviously play in other games that they play.
I kind of like it. I don't mind it. I mean, when I look at this cap and I look back on, I reckon the reason why we had turn-based combat, I mean, there is a strategy element there, but I also do think it comes down to a bit of game design bits and pieces as well. I would imagine it'd be much easier to design a turn-based combat game in terms of having good animations and everything else. Am I talking about my ass here, Cap? But I feel
I don't
like
know.
That...
Do you know what? I actually think the balance of trying to get turn-based... okay, so it comes down to numbers, right? Yeah. And having actually creating a turn-based system that actually feels well-weighted and not either A, terribly overpowered on the player side or on the computer side, but also has a nice progression. It feels like you are making the most of all your abilities. None are too overpowered. I actually think it's harder to craft that than a standard action game.
Yeah, okay. I can see what you're saying there. So what you're saying is trying to find the right balance of the abilities being powerful enough without being overpowered takes a lot more tuning than, say, an action game that has three moves and one special ability. Yeah, okay.
And I actually think that one game that really suffered from poor tuning was not Octopath Traveler. Oh, I can't think of the game. It was a newer Square Enix one that came out.
Okay.
But yeah,
see,
I do
think
really.
I think that's where Chrono Trigger really shines. Because,
absolutely.
When you have you have these different team up abilities depending on who you have in your squad, and while they're really strong, they're never too strong, and you die in combat and fights. And there's so many fucking abilities in that game, tuned perfectly.
The game I was thinking of was Bravely Default 2. So I really fell hard off Bravely Default because I just kind of felt like it was just way too fucking easy. Like to the point where it was boring. And I do feel like there's a difficult line to tread with RPG turn-based stuff, because obviously combat can go for quite a while depending on what battle it is. So you kind of need to try and find this unique balance of isn't insanely difficult, but maybe is difficult in the right way. Kind of like Dark Souls, really, you know, like. And the Soulsborne games, it's like approachable. I mean, some will say it's not approachable, but you know, like even then, I'm kind of almost like maybe not, because trial and error in a turn-based game can be really fucking tedious.
Yeah, you die, and then you've got to
go and fucking do it all over again.
There's definitely advantages, disadvantages of both, I think. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Turn-based can be annoying.
Yeah, so I think. Yeah, anyways, so yeah, they're fucking ditching it, Grizz. Final Fantasy 16, the reason we don't get our turn-based combat is because you bloody zoomers out there.
In Final Fantasy 7 Remake, you had the ability to go real-time and then kind of pseudo-real-time where you could slow it down. Are they going to have this, or is it just going to be...
Maybe. I don't know. Be interesting to see. Maybe they'll include that. But even then, the pseudo-real-time kind of thing that they call classic mode, people thought it was going to be like... turn-based, but it's not really. It kind of just slows the combat down and makes it a little bit super bullshit easy mode. So unfortunately it wasn't quite what I was after, because I really wanted to play that game in turn-based because I just think it's fucking rad. But anyways, there you go. All right, next one, Grizz. So Respawn is working on a new single player FPS game set in the Apex Legends universe.
Yeah. One thing about Apex that I didn't know, apparently the backstories and the lore and stuff goes real deep. I just thought it was like a bunch of characters that come together.
Well, Chris, I thought this was set in the Titanfall universe.
Did you? Fuck, I didn't
Yeah,
know.
So when they said set in the Apex Legends universe, I was like, that's the fucking Titanfall universe, you motherfuckers. How dare you? Like, that is such a good game.
Is it set in the Titanfall universe?
I'm pretty sure. Perhaps not on his head. I'm almost 100% positive. Okay. But yeah, Titanfall 1 and 2, extraordinary games. And the only reason they didn't get as much valor as they deserved, I believe Titanfall 2 came out about the same time that a Battlefield game came out. It just basically got eclipsed because Battlefield is Battlefield. And that was before they were sort of doing that. Yep, Pav has given us the thumbs up. It is indeed the Titanfall universe. I don't know, maybe we're getting another Titanfall game, which would be fucking tight. The story campaign in Titanfall 2 is one of the best FPS campaigns I've ever played.
I've never played Titanfall, Cap.
Good, great game. Really fucking great game. And the combat is excellent. It is. I am so sad that game didn't get the recognition it deserved. It's just one of those games that just deserved way more critical acclaim, and it just never got it because it released at a poor time. It's quite sad. Quite sad.
Very sad.
There you go. So, yeah, get excited for that. Maybe a Titanfall 3, perhaps. We shall frickin' see. Now, Grizz, PlayStation has finalized its deals to acquire Bungie and Haven. Bungie, obviously, the guys who produced Destiny 2. Haven, I actually have no fucking idea what they have produced. I believe they're just kind of like devs for hire, perhaps. But
it's taken this long for the Bungie deal to come together, has it, Cap? Just signing the dotted line and doing all the bits and pieces?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like a fucking $45 billion sale or some shit, wasn't it? Like something ridiculous. Yeah, a bit of money involved, Chris. You know, it's not as easy as just bloody send me your bank details. I'll deposit the cash.
Sling you a couple of bucks, mate.
Yeah, I'll sling you a couple of bucks. Yeah, flip me a Bitcoin wallet and I'll hook you up, mate. I swear. Mm. Would you take this picture of this stunning ape instead?
A couple of NFTs.
Yeah.
Save the tax. Save the tax. Don't worry about it, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. So Haven
what does this
Studio,
mean, Cap? Is this gonna impact Bungie at all, or Haven Studio?
I don't
now?
Think so. I think basically the whole idea was that Bungie will probably help PlayStation in some ways to maybe because I mean you got to think about Destiny 2, dude. Destiny 2 is actually quite a triumph of games as a service, right? It's you know think about games like Anthem. Anthem was kind of trying to do the Destiny thing, absolutely died in the hole. There's not an awful lot of games that actually manage to make, you know, games as a service work. So Bungie are a very sort of seasoned veteran studio, you know, and they have managed to utilize this. And I think PlayStation want to leverage them to create or enhance games that they want to bring out and sort of have like a games as a service kind of model. So,
yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of the idea.
So maybe we'll see some Bungie folk on some other PlayStation things and bits and pieces.
Yeah, I think definitely there'll probably be some sharing of talent between people, I think it's good for PlayStation. I think it's good for Bungie, honestly.
I wonder whether they've had like NDAs and bits and pieces up until now, until this has officially gone across.
I would have thought so.
Okay, well, that's kind of exciting. That's
yeah,
cool.
And from what I do understand with the Bungie deal in particular, I don't know much about this Haven deal, but I do know that Bungie kind of said, we just want free reign on our IPs, and so they will continue to have free reign over Destiny 2, and hopefully it shouldn't impact Destiny 2's presence on other consoles. So, but, you know, that remains to be seen. So now the other thing with Haven, Grizz, Haven is helmed by someone called Jade Raymond, and she... she worked quite heavily with EA and Ubisoft. So she's worked on franchises like Splinter Cell, Watch Dogs, Far Cry, Star Wars Battlefront, and also Assassin's Creed, the original game, the original Assassin's Creed. So I remember like watching early Assassin's Creed videos with Jade Raymond, sort of talking about the game design aspects of it and thinking, holy fuck, man, this is a fucking game, dude. This is sick.
Yeah. The science fiction elements were so cool in that, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Really, really cool stealth mechanics and stuff as well.
Big time. So she's the one that sort of heads up Haven. So that's kind of what are they going to be doing? Who knows? Basically, Raymond founded the studio back in 2021 with the aim of making a modern multiplayer experience of some sort. So we don't know what they're working on, essentially. But I'm sure Sony does now. So they obviously thought it was good enough to get them on board. So
100.
Yeah. Yeah. Will be very interesting. Now, Grizz, one close to your heart, Skate 4.
Yeah.
It's officially called Just Skate.
It's called Just Skate, is it? Oh, you've written
it. Well,
not
Just Skate. It's called Skate.
It's called Skate.
Yeah.
Fucking hell,
it will
mate.
Be free to play. It will be cross play and have cross progression. And it's going to have heaps of NFTs. I don't know that for sure, but I bet you it does.
Dude, it actually kind of excites me, though. The reason why it excites me is you wouldn't call the game Just Skate if it was going to be a money-hungry piece of shit, surely. Because this is
I definitely agree.
Of a game.
Like, I think they're going to, like, this will be an iterative product. Again, talking about games as a service. I think this will be something that they support for a while. It'll be kind of like a skate ecosystem. Probably content for plenty of time to come. So I think this is quite exciting for a lot of people that probably really enjoy those skate games. The one thing that worries me is the fact that it's free to play. Obviously, they're going to make money off this somehow. How do they monetize it?
Cosmetics and decks and stuff. I mean, it sounds like if it's online multiplayer cross-platform progression, there's going to be, like, I think multiplayer is going to be a huge component of that. When you get multiplayer games like this, I think that's where cosmetics truly shine. When you see that bloke with that six Spitfire deck and red bearings that they've bought from the item shop somewhere or use some kind of currency. So maybe it works.
It'll be interesting to see whether those items translate into some kind of like stat thing. Is it pay to win? I mean, Skate's owned by EA, I believe, Grizz. So, I mean, it might be. Unfortunately.
Fucking hell, dude. I wonder if it'll... Dude, you know what? You saying... Oh, crap. What have you done?
I know. I'm sorry.
You saying cryptocurrency or NFTs into this game for EA would be the perfect game.
Dude, it makes so much sense, right? Putting NFT... Like, you bought NFTs on your skateboard. It just... I can just fucking see it happening, dude.
Yeah.
I
bought this sick fucking monkey and I'm going to have it as a sticker on the bottom of my deck.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. It's going to happen for sure. The interesting thing that kind of in parallel to this, I believe Tony Hawk is working on an NFT game.
No.
I believe so.
No, I need to Google this right now. Surely not.
I can't remember the specifics of it, but I just remembered it as I was sort of spurting out about Skate. I heard it somewhere. I do believe that Tony Hawk has been fucking reeled in and he's now working on some kind of NFT bullshit blockchain
thing. Tony Hawk
thing.
Is building an NFT skate park in the metaverse. There you go. How's that headline, mate?
Oh, gross. It's so fucking gross.
Partner up with Sandbox Online game built on the Ethereum blockchain where players can spend cryptocurrency to buy virtual land to build the largest skate park ever made.
Oh, gross. And we're going to pump it full of NFTs while we're at it. Hella good. Great job. Now, Grizz, the final story of our quick fire round. Elden Ring. You guys thought we weren't going to talk about it, but guess what? It's in there, baby. Elden Ring has joined the top-selling games of all time in US history.
Doesn't surprise me, mate. It's the best game ever made. How many are we talking? Tell me the
I think
numbers.
It's in the top 10 somewhere.
Dang, man.
Yep. So up there against, you know, all kinds of fucking big hitters. So, Elden Ring continues to be the best game of all time.
Okay, headlines recently. Elden Ring has topped the NPD sales charts for a number of months since launch. Outsold Call of Duty as the most bought game in the last 12 months. Get fucked, Call of Duty.
Cop that, mate. Cop that, bastards. So, Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Toppling the greats of Call of Duty.
So,
all things should be.
Elden Ring came out this year, didn't it?
Yep.
I think we should put a poll on next week's poll. Do you think Game of the Year, maybe we wait till later, till God of War comes out. Personally,
towards the end of the year.
Do you think God of War is going to rival Elden Ring for Game of the Year, mate?
No.
I think Elden Ring's got it.
Because, and the reason I say that, if God of War, the last God of War iteration released this year, maybe, but I think it's just more of the same game. So people are probably know what they can expect with the next God of War game, but they're going to have to do some pretty epic fucking shit with the story or something to really kind of, set itself apart. So I don't know. I can't see Elden Ring not winning at this stage, in all honesty. So, but okay. Yeah.
What do you think? I have no idea. I think Elden Ring's done something really special this year, and I feel like it was a breakthrough from Software, whereas I think I feel like God of War is going to be off the similar recipe sheet to the last one. So I think, my vote would go Elden Ring at this stage.
Well, 13 million copies says something, so there you fucking go. Anyways, the Grizz, that wraps up our episode for tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves here. We've had an absolute blast, as always.
I'll tell you what, Cap, I actually did miss having this last week. I did miss
absolutely, dude.
Yourself and Pav. And yeah, it's something that's definitely I'm really enjoying. I just wanted to thank everyone for continuing to support us. This is it's been a real bit of fun, nice bit of fresh content creation for us, hasn't it, Capo?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the thing I've really enjoyed sticking with, and something that I'm really happy to put time and effort into. So hopefully you guys appreciate that time and effort on your end, and continue to consume the content. But yeah. Again, we just want to thank our Patreons, as always. Thank you for supporting us. And if you would like to join our illustrious Patreons, you can do so by going to patreon.com and looking up Oceanic Gaming Radio, or check out the links in the description of this episode, or you'll probably find it in the Twitch chat at some point. Now, we also have Twitter. You can find us at twitter.com/OGRshow. You can also find us on Discord, again, link in our bio descriptions, etc. As always, you can find us on your favorite podcasting apps, plural. We record this bad boy every Monday night from about 7 p.m. AWST. So if you want to join us here live, you certainly can. Other than that, that's about everything. But the one thing I am going to ask you to do is go and tell one of your mates about this podcast and get them listening. We would love to have them, get in their ear holes wrapped around this little podcast of ours, and we'd love to share it with them. So if you have someone that you think might enjoy this, please go and share it with us, or with them. You don't need to share it with us. We've heard it. We literally said it. So
said it. Just tell them. Australian gaming podcast, right up your
Aussie
alley,
gaming
right?
podcast. Go on, fuck. Get in there. Yeah. But yeah, as always, guys, thank you for being here. Again, we bloody appreciate you. Any final words, Pav and Grizz?
No, mate. I'm just very grateful for all of you, you bloody legends, the listeners, and my two illustrious co-hosts. Hey, one thing I do want to say, make sure that you do, if you are listening to this on Spotify or consuming the YouTube content, rating the podcast out of 5 stars helps our discoverability.
Actually, big one. Absolutely,
so
big
that.
One.
Do that, please, especially if you enjoy it. Liking things, sharing on your Twitter as well, liking the OGR posts. Anything that can help boost the socials is greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah, if you see a post go up or something, we'd really appreciate it if you could just give it a thumbs up, maybe a reshare. You know, if you go overboard, but we do appreciate every time you guys interact with our posts. So. Second. Thank you. Anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully Pav's sorted out the fucking hat by then. Absolutely not. But yeah, again, thank you for being here. Appreciate you. And we'll see you next time on Oceanic Gaming Radio.
Bye-bye.
Burrito, Pav.
It's very cold.
Is it cold?
It is cold.